Thanks for joining me.
So, it's a pleasure. Thank you for taking time.
You just wrapped up your final term in office after serving 8 years, your term limited. Have you thought about what kind of legacy you'd like to leave behind?
Well, certainly, there are so many issues I've been proud to be part of during my term, but again, a spectrum of opportunities for Western Colorado, I think I'm very proud that we've been able to accomplish.
Over your entire legislative career, what piece of legislation that became law are you most proud of?
Well, yeah, I guess I go back, certainly having done so much work and water and energy and other issues. I have to just say that the best school program, and we've talked about it before, Building Excellent Schools Today, really is something that I think has been just had phenomenal impact to in so many communities and to so, the lives of so many children and teachers and individuals. And that is a program that in the last 4 years, we have been able to build $1 billion of new schools in rural communities that could never replace a school building.
Wow. So that piece of legislation has had a large impact.
Absolutely. And again, it will change these small communities forever. And what inspired me was in my district in the San Luis Valley, one day I went to visit a K-12 school building that was in a converted potato packing shed with a cesspool out back. That was a school building in Colorado, or a K-12 school district 5 years ago. And now it's an extraordinary new facility that everyone is just so proud of. But it never would have changed if the state couldn't come in and partner with those communities to replace those buildings. And you know, we in our Constitution is a thorough and uniform system of education. And that uniformity should extend to keeping making sure our children are in safe school buildings as well.
And I know you've worked a lot on water issues. I'm going to ask the same question, only this time about water. You know, what piece of legislation that ended up becoming law, having to do with water, do you think was most effective?
I think there are again, we probably I've carried maybe 35 water bills, and many of which or some of which are creating storage throughout the state, which is such an important piece. Other bills building on our in-stream flows and opportunities for application of water, the beneficial use of water for the environment and recreation. But this bill that we just passed, Senate Bill 23, which does focus on agricultural efficiency and the opportunity to replace or dedicate water that is not diverted as a result of efficiency and leave that water in, again, these very specific reaches, leave that water in the stream for an in-stream flow. Is a concept that I've been working on with people from our valley, from the Roaring Fork Valley and the Western Slope, for several years. And it was a very, one of the most difficult conversations down here this session. And we were ultimately successful. I know there is a range of opinions about it, but the application will be so limited, we felt that the benefit in those very specific places, it was worth the battle. And I'm very proud of the support and help from Cattlemen's, Nature Conservancy, and other entities that felt this was good for, again, these upper reaches of the Colorado River system that we're seeing in the Gypsum Creek and Capitol Creek and Crystal River, all these areas that we know those flows can be minimal. They'll be so minimal as a result of diversion. And if we can support our ag users and the people that have that right, to incorporate some additional efficiency and leave that water behind, we all can, our entire region can benefit. So the bill was supported by the San Juan River District in the Southwest, the Gunnison River District, and some of our northern districts on the Yampa, but and the our Northwest COG supported it. And we had a difficult conversation with the Colorado River District. So because of that, is there's so such diverse opinions on that board, but I think a time will show that this will be beneficial and not have the kinds of impacts that they feared.
So you represent District 5, which is a sprawling area that stretches from Eagle south to Hinsdale County and from Delta east to Chaffee County. And of course, Pitkin County is included in the mix. This is an area with varying priorities and economies. First of all, how much traveling have you done to these areas? And what have you learned from the people living there?
Well, and just to go back in history a bit, when I ran both times, our Senate District 5 had 11 counties, and it spanned from Basalt to New Mexico. And I think my husband and I have calculated we've probably driven about 350,000 miles over the course of the term. And we've gone through several cars, and not to mention the sets of tires. But it is, so there are a tremendous amount of travel and serving my communities. But the most important thing, when I was elected, I really promised that I would be present to the communities in our district, and have made a very, very significant commitment to that. And as my husband would say, is, you know, Gail, you go to Alamosa like some people go to City Market. So, I mean, you just hop in the car, going to Alamosa or heading to other parts of the district, Paonia, Delta, Salida, and et cetera. So it really was just part of my commitment to do the best I could to serve the district. So 2 years ago, through the reapportionment, the district changed and became seven counties, this more compact central mountain district, with Lake and Eagle County being added to Chaffee, Gunnison, Hinsdale, Delta, and Pitkin.
I like that City Market comment from your husband.
I mean, it was. It just that's just what I did. I just was filling my car up every other day, because there is this time during the when you're out of session that it is so important that you be able to connect with your constituents. And I actually had carried a bill at one point in time to reduce the length of our session, or give us some breaks in the session so we could go home and spend more time in our district. But that in fact failed. But I still think that there's needs to be more of an effort made to have rural legislators get home as much as they can.
And how does this most recent legislative session compare to past sessions?
Well, I think I did have the motivation of this being my last and last opportunity to, again, from a policy standpoint, impact the areas that I felt were critical, and one of which is certainly broadband in our rural communities. That was, we really wanted to make sure there was some closure on that. Other issues, the policy around developing our rural resources, our resources within our region, be it solar, hydro, biomass, you know, certainly the renewables, and then supporting the other resources that are developed, that the more traditional resources as well. But I wanted to make sure the industries that were evolving, geothermal and biomass and hydro, and those opportunities were given every bit of support that we could through policy, securing financing and tax credits and all the benefits that we can offer through statute.
You know, now that you're leaving office, is there anything that you're looking back on or wishing that you would have proposed?
Well, you're never satisfied, because you always have to, there's always compromises being being made here. Would I have liked a bigger broadband fund sooner, more opportunities for funding in, again, our real resources in our rural areas when it comes to roads and infrastructure and those issues. I-70 is a complete disaster. I wish that I would have been able to have more of an impact there, because I think it's choking off the economy of Western Colorado in our communities, and we're suffering at a lot of levels because we're really so significantly impacted and so poorly managing I-70, especially on the weekends. So you're absolutely right. You're never satisfied because of the compromises, and you have to settle sometimes for half a loaf. But I honestly believe each concept, you know, it will come forward in its own time. That if you believe it's the right thing, that if you can see the concept, if you can put in place opportunity, that those concepts will evolve, and ultimately those problems can be addressed.
What issues will you continue working on after you leave office, and how do you plan to do that?
I will be, senator until, January of this year. So I will be, right now, I will continue as a vice chair. Now, I was chair last year of the Water Interim Committee, and then we put in place a bill this year to have outreach of those interim committees, of that interim committee, with public hearings in each basin on the Colorado Water Plan. And then the other issue is I will continue to chair the Capital Development Committee, and we will be touring the capital assets, prisons, museums, higher ed institutions, et cetera, that are in our rural areas and all across the state for that matter. So I'll be continuing that work, but there are two pieces that I'm really going to dedicate my efforts to as well. And one is, I had a bill this session with Senator Hodge to look at the effective severance tax rate in the state of Colorado. And we have some pretty clear data from our independent staff downstairs, economic staff, that shows that Colorado has one of the lowest effective tax rates for oil and gas and our extracted resources in the Western United States. So what opportunity exists? We did the same thing. I chaired a similar committee 7 years ago when I first came, and we made pretty important changes and we benefited from having a working group, and that working group helped us identify the issues and frame the solutions. So a lot has changed. Almost everything has changed in the last 7 years in terms of our production in the state of Colorado. And when we look at revenue from our severed minerals, half of that goes into our natural resources, and in particular into our water infrastructure. That's why it's important to me. So that bill, the governor's office, the governor, and the oil and gas industry in particular, asked that we not carry a bill, but that there will be a task force formed by the administration to explore these issues. And I really respected both the administration and the industry stepping up to have the conversation without legislation. So I'll be keeping an eye on that effort. And secondly, this issue of these healthcare regions has been a very important focus of mine. And I am going to make sure that we look at a solution here, and we get the right data, and we I'll be working closely with the Division of Insurance and the communities, both the individuals and the providers, to assure that we are getting affordable health care insurance. We've made a big impact on that, and I hope that will be resolved in the near future. So those are a couple of issues. I had one other effort fail, and that was to create more geographic distribution when it came to signatures for amending our constitution, and that did fail. But I'm when going just revisiting, what are some of the things we regret? I think having more representation from the rural parts of the state, when it comes to amending the Constitution, should be an opportunity that we're afforded. But hopefully that will continue to be considered, and either by a referred measure or by a measure to get put onto the ballot by our citizens.
And what's next for you?
That is a very good question. I know you've asked it, and I do look forward to some significant personal time and family time while I remain focused on these issues through the course of the summer and hope to identify a next opportunity to be able to serve.
Very good. Well, Senator Schwartz, thank you so much.
Oh, Marcy, it's such a pleasure.